From the KTFO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Biden administration has carved out $120 million for tribal communities across the nation to adapt to climate change. It's part of $440 million set aside for tribes from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and other federal spending. The administration says it's the largest amount of climate funding for tribes in the history of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. But as KNBA's Rhonda McBride found out, that money won't go far in Alaska.
As director of the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium's Climate Change Initiative, Jackie Schaefer travels to communities on the front lines of climate change.
New funding coming out, it's great. Any drop of funding that we have the ability to access is good. But,
and in that word, but, there's a lot to unpack. Schaefer says this latest round of funding won't even cover half of what it'll take to move Kivalina, a community in the Northwest Arctic that's on the edge of being devoured by the ocean. Another problem, the federal grant is competitive, which means that drop of funding will disappear into a huge bucket to be shared with tribes across the country. Schaefer says the communities which face the biggest threat should have top priority. In a statement, the Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs, Brian Newland, calls it a historic investment that gives tribes the resources they need to develop and implement protective strategies for their communities. Newland says tribes should look at this first $120 million as a down payment for more help once the needs are identified and prioritized. He said that this funding builds on the work that the Biden-Harris administration is doing across Alaska and Indian Country, including $25 million that went to Nutak and Napakiak for relocation costs. Schaefer says this is good to hear, but believes the federal government has yet to grasp the true cost of climate change for communities like Kivalina.
Even a water system, an average water system, is $70 to $100 million for a community that size. So when you look at that, then you start adding those costs. It really is. It's expensive to build a whole new community.
Schaefer says most of the homes in harm's way are old and in poor condition.
Most of the housing, I would say 80% of the housing in our rural communities, cannot be picked up and moved. This is something else that you have to look at.
Rick Toman, one of Alaska's top climate experts, says Alaska has another very pricey problem that other states don't have, melting permafrost.
In 80 years, when people are looking back, the thawing permafrost is going to be one of the big ticket items that we will have had to deal with as Alaskans.
Toman says the planning for Alaska will be difficult and costly because with permafrost, there are so many unknowns.
We don't know the fine details. We don't know which stretches of roads will newly start to collapse under thawing permafrost, but we know it's going to happen somewhere, and it's going to happen most places over the coming decades.
Jackie Schaefer deals with these unknowns every day in her job with the Tribal Health Consortium, but this is what she does know as she visits communities like Kivalina, an island once 8 miles long, now reduced to a mile.
Our people, because they're so connected to the land, air, and sea, when they see things wash away that connects them to their ancestry, it's devastating.
Realities, Schaefer says, that are hard to truly grasp in both cost and magnitude unless they're at your doorstep. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
And 5 days after fishermen in Bristol Bay protested the record low price for sockeye salmon, processors still haven't budged. Many fishermen are considering selling their permits and boats. But for young members of the fleet, the decision on whether to return next year is especially difficult. KDLG's Jack Darrell reports.
Wesley Blau and Jordan Maynor are childhood friends, growing up crewing on their father's boats in Bristol Bay. Now in their mid-20s, they live in Hoonah, Alaska, and Bainbridge Island, respectively. But they return each season to deckhand. Blau says it's like a family reunion.
This is the only time we see each other, but you build friendships and everything, and the camaraderie amongst fishermen every summer, because we're all technically have our own business with our own boat, but we're all in this together.
4 weeks into the fishing season, processors posted a record low base price of 50 cents per pound, less than half of last year's price, igniting outrage and frustration among crews across the fishery. Their fathers, Darren Maynor and Shane Blau, helped organize the protest in the Naknek River, where over 100 boats anchored up in a demonstration, calling on processors to increase the base price and transparency in the fishery. Blau, Maynor, and their fathers have been through many fishing seasons, but this is their first protest together. And Maynor says it might be his last year commercial fishing.
And frankly, it scared me away from fishing. I would have loved to be involved in this. My dad's been doing this for a long time, and I wish I could have gotten involved, but there's just no way you can make that risk for a family or build up anything when you just don't know what you're making.
Wesley's father, Shane Blau, says it's the lowest price he's seen in his 35 years of fishing.
It's been hard. It's been tears.
Blau says as costs and uncertainty increase each season, he's discouraging his children from following in his footsteps. And as a lifelong fisherman, it's heartbreaking.
But the last thing you want is your children to get strapped to hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt and then have the rug pulled out from under them. And that's what's going on. I didn't think it would happen quite this way, quite this fast, but it has. And thank goodness that, you know, I've given my kids that advice, and right now they see it clear-eyed.
Blau's son Wesley says he's been considering investing in a boat and the fishery for the last 6 years. But with this season's price news, he's listening to his father and making other plans.
My whole entire life, that's all I've ever wanted to do is buy a boat and get into fishing. But anymore, I'm thinking there's no point in coming out here, getting in all this debt, and then just hoping they're going to pay us a little something. I can't afford to do that.
Blau says he almost bought a boat, but was advised against taking on the more than $80,000 of debt, which turned out to be a blessing. He says his father has been warning him they would have a year like this.
You know, he's like, not only are you going to spend the rest of your 20s trying to get back above water on debt and everything, he's like, I'm not going to let you go down, so you're going to take me down with you, and you're going to kill a multi-generational fishing family.
The elder Blau says it was a hard lesson he learned from experience, starting at age 18 after buying his first boat and permit.
The sockeye price collapsed, and whether I wanted to be in the business or not, I was for the next 10 years.
The 32-foot fiberglass or aluminum fishing vessels of the Bristol Bay Drift Fleet often range between $100,000 to over $1 million, and a fishing permit for the bay this year is valued at almost $190,000, according to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. There are other costs, too. Insurance, taxes, state permitting, boat storage, and annual maintenance. Denali Hodgson is a young commercial fisher. They spoke to KDLG while preparing fish for the winter. They're Athabascan and Sugpiak and grew up in South Naknek, set netting with their family. But for local residents, fishing is their livelihood. They emphasize this low price will impact Alaska Native communities in Bristol Bay the hardest, where cost of living can be three, even four times higher.
Folks that are living in the lower 48 that have access to a larger job market, that have access to other grocery outlets, to other food opportunities, are going to have an easier time than people that rely on this fishery here in Bristol Bay for their main income source during the year.
Hodgson says that these fish prices hurt everyone, but there are many ways that costs and significant debt can pile up on young fishers, especially as more expensive boats can fish longer and outcompete smaller operations.
And it's not right. It's like, pull yourself up from your bootstraps and invest in what you can. But again, not everybody is starting at the same place.
For all the young fishers in Bristol Bay, there's anger and frustration and hurt, but also laughter and reminiscing. Fishers talk about what the fishery means to them and why it's worth fighting for. In Naknek, I'm Jack Darrell.
And we have a correction for a story we ran Thursday and Friday last week. The story misidentified Dan Ewing as a pastor at Calvary Fellowship. Brian Ewing is actually Calvary's pastor. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 63 degrees and overcast today. This afternoon, we might see some more showers on the way with a low of 55 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, look like they're going to be sunny, with highs in the mid to high 60s. Saturday night might see some clouds, and Sunday may be rainy. You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to ktoo.org.